Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back here and bring forth another message and the flexibility, the postponement was all right. The day I got back, the next Monday, I was going to work on more of my messages and my computer crashed. And so I was without my computer till basically Friday, so it worked both ways, but... If you'll take with your taking your Bibles with me today and turn to Exodus 32. We're going to be, our text is out of 2 Corinthians 6:15-18 this morning, but I want as an introduction to go into the story of Israel and the golden calf. And we're going to look at music, matter, taste, biblical analysis. We're going to do a fly overview of the past messages, and then get into the message this morning. Before we do this, though, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and I thank you for this time that we are able to gather together in your house and worship you in song and in preaching. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the words to say, that I would say only those things that you'd want me to say, that you would calm my nerves, and that your truth would come forth and allow me to not hinder that in doing so. Thank you for Pastor Potter allowing me to come and preach here, and please bless this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So just as by way of review, in part one of the music series, we said in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And as you recall, we used that first message to determine if we can judge music by John 4:24. If music is neutral, then it doesn't matter what kind of music we use in worship to God. But if there is good and evil music, if music is powerful, then we must use godly music when we worship God in spirit and in truth. And so on that message, we saw that there is good and evil music. There's music that glorifies God or the devil. We've talked about our musical God and the musical devil. We saw that music is not neutral. We saw that it has moral and it has power. We saw that music impacts physically, emotionally, and spiritually, as in the example of King Saul. We also saw that music defines context. We saw that music alone communicates. Music is a powerful weapon, and we just can't say, well, it doesn't matter what music I use, because there is a good and evil music, and music does have power. So we determined from that message based in John 4:24 that music falls under the criteria of John 4:24 and requires biblical analysis. And therefore, we ought to worship God with the right heart attitude and with godly music. Any music will not do. There is a music that glorifies God, and there is a music that glorifies the devil. And so in the next message, we use Ephesians 5:8-11 as our text, and we got more into the nitty-gritty of what music is acceptable or not, and it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." There ought to be a difference in our lives as believers. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." We don't walk like the world when we become Christ followers, when we become Christians. There ought to be a difference in our walk. And this is what Paul is telling us in Ephesians. And in that message, we saw that God is the music. He is the song of believers. And we saw that our music as believers ought to be distinct from the devil's music. We looked into basic rhythm, the basic elements of music, and saw how the rock beat, the back beat, violates God's character as it elicits confusion, rebellion, and sexual and moral responses. It goes against the natural rhythmic pattern that God has created. It is the old song, music that glorifies the corrupted musical devil. We also briefly looked at the breathy vocal techniques that intrude the intimate zone, eliciting improper responses. So we saw what music was wrong and what music was of the devil, that the devil had corrupted, and we asked the question, what place ought this music to have in the life of a believer? And that is none. But today we're going to look at, well, what if we offer what about offering the devil's music to a holy God? Can it be done? What happens when we do it? In our text verse today, passage is 2 Corinthians 6:15, 18. But you're in Exodus 32, and that's good because we're going to read an introduction on what happened when Israel tried to use the wrong means to worship a holy God. And we want to look into that situation a little bit more. So in Exodus 32, if you're there with me, Exodus 32, verses 4 through 8, let's go ahead and read those. Starting in verse 4, Moses has gone up into the mount. Israel comes to Aaron, and they say, we need something else to worship. Moses is gone, and so Aaron's going to make them a golden calf to worship God with, God by. And so in verse 4 we see, and he, Aaron, received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graven tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. We're going to try to worship Jehovah God through the means of a golden calf. In verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We're going to look at this word play in a little bit, but it's not just going around to the park and playing. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now if you'll skip down to verse 17, we see Joshua and Moses coming down from the mount. And Joshua hears something going on that he didn't recognize from when they had gone up. When Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Joshua goes on to say, and he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery. They're not victors. Neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. They're not defeated. But it's the noise of them that sing do I hear. I'm not sure what it is, Moses, but something isn't right in the camp. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. The music, that which was going on in the camp, communicated something to them. Something was different. And when they came to it, they saw the people worshiping the calf and the dancing going on, the improper actions. And Moses breaks the Ten Commandments, signifying, you guys have already broken God's law by putting another God before me. Well, let's look into this sound that Joshua heard. What did he hear? We don't know what music was being played, but we can glean characteristics of the music that was being played. It was a confusion. I mean, Joshua couldn't put his finger on what type of music he was hearing from the camp. None of them that are victors. It's not them that are defeated. The voice of them that sing do I hear. And this word for sing is pretty interesting too. We're going to look into that. But something was wrong, and Joshua couldn't figure out what it was. But it was also music of rebellion. The word sing comes from the Hebrew anah, and it has the idea of looking down or browbeating, by submitting oneself, abasing oneself, afflicting. It has the idea of rebellion. They were replacing God with the golden calf. They had erected the golden calf up to worship, and they were using this music, whatever it was, to worship God with. And it was a music of confusion. It was a music of rebellion, because they were rejecting God when they were using it. And this word sing here is rather interesting in describing it. But also, it was of sensual and moral activities. The word play is sakah from the Hebrew, to laugh outright, to scorn by implication to sport, laugh, mock, play, to make sport. Clark commentary has this to say on the word play. He says, a word of ominous import which seems to imply here fornicating and adulterous intercourse, and in some countries the verb to play is still used precisely in this sense. So in other countries today, when they say play, they understand this. When we say play here in the United States, or at least from what I've grown up with, I'm going to just go play outside. But this isn't what Israel was doing. They were doing immoral activities. And as we think of this, we say, well, how could have Israel been doing this? I mean, they're just young, right? But as I was thinking about this, Israel had just come out of Egypt. And Egypt was very pagan. See, God had delivered Israel out of Egypt, but he's going to have to take a while to get Egypt out of Israel. It's a perfect parallel for us as a life as believers. God delivers us from that miry pit that we had talked about last message, but it's going to take a while to get that world out of us because we have attachments that we have that sometimes we refuse to get up because we don't want to give them up. But it's a life of yielding to God. You see, Israel, they were fresh out of Egypt. They weren't amateurs. They knew what they were doing. And they were using improper music. They were using improper means to worship a holy God. And things didn't turn out too well for them that day as 3,000 men perished. We saw that the other week. And so now if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians 6:15-18, 2 Corinthians 6:15-18, this is where we're going to spend most of our time today. In verse 15, Paul's speaking, and he starts off by asking a list of rather rhetorical questions, but more to drive a point home for us as believers. He says, "In what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God." Ye are the temple of God. Paul lays it out. You say, no, Christ has nothing with Belial. That just doesn't go together. Well, guess what? Each one of us as believers are the temple of God. As God hath said, God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We have a message to be separate from the world, to not have worldly things in us, devilish music, in our example, the wrong music in our lives, because we are the temple of the living God. And it's not here, but if you'll just on the screen, but if you'll just look down at the next verse in chapter 7, Paul says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from not some, not about all, but all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Because we have this promise that we are the children of God, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. So what we're going to do, we're going to take an overview and look at old music with new lyrics. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Second, we want to look at today is, ye are the temple of God. Be ye separate, from 2 Corinthians 6:16-18. Thirdly, we want to look at a call to holiness, rocks reversed order, based out of Romans 14. So let's look into the first point. What concord hath Christ with Satan? Concord, an interesting word here. Concord is from the Greek symphonesis, which is actually a musical term from which we get symphony in our English language. Christ and the devil can't be joined musically. It's interesting that God had the Apostle Paul choose this word in writing what he's saying. What concord hath Christ with Satan? Or we could say, what concord musically hath Christ with Satan? There's nothing. We can't put something on another thing, expect to get. We can't put good and bad together and expect good to make bad good. Bad makes good bad. That's what happens. Christian contemporary music genre. When you look at this, this is exactly what they try to do. Putting new lyrics to old music. You can find this definition online. CCM, by definition, is a genre of modern popular music which is lyrically focused on matters concerned with the Christian faith. Looks all good if you're just looking at the lyrics. It says lyrically focused, but do they say anything about the music? There's nothing about the music because CCM industry believes that music is amoral. But from our previous sessions, we saw that music isn't amoral. And so they're taking the world's music and just adding Christian lyrics to it. And we heard some examples. That just didn't work either. the you still move to the music and do the improper responses to it. And this originated, had strong origins in the 1960s with the Jesus Hippie movement. We could have a whole session on this, but just to give you a brief point about it, Calvary Chapels down in Southern California, a guy by the name of Chuck Smith was starting them, and I'm not going to question his intention. He may have had good intentions to try to reach people to the Lord, but he used the wrong means. He brought in, the hippies came in, and with it, they brought in their lifestyle of the counterculture. And their music remained the change. But if their music stayed the same, there's a problem, because we saw in Psalms and in the Old Testament that God has become our music as believers once we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior. So there is to be a change in our music. And there was no change in the music here. And that presents a problem. Time Magazine. See, the secular world, like we said, recognizes things that Christians don't recognize. Well, here's a place. This group is called Striper. And heading for this news article was New Lyrics for the Devil's Music. If you just look at this picture, is there anything Christian about it? Would you guess that they're Christian? They're all guys in there too. Amazing, yeah. But this is what Time Magazine, a secular magazine in June 24, 2001, had to say about this group. Secular, here's the heading, New Lyrics for what? The Devil's Music. They recognize that as the devil's music. Here's what it says. If you had to guess their name, you might think of the devil's disciples or the Beelzebubs, or perhaps the killer bees, which is what the four young men on the stage looked like in their tight leather and spandex costumes, crisscrossed with garish black and yellow stripes, piles of makeup, spiky hair, and enough dangling chains to tie up half the elephants in Africa, complete the picture of the up-to-date heavy metal rock group. Even the music, the sound of a swarm of angry insects electronically amplified several thousand times fits the image. But wait, don't walk away without listening to the words of their song. The devil never pays. He robs like a thief in the night. So many bands give the devil all the glory. It's hard to understand. We want to change the story. We want to rock one way on and on. You'll see the light someday. I'll see Jesus is the way. The group is actually called Striper, a name inspired by the biblical assurance that with his stripes we are healed, Isaiah 53:5. Instead of throwing drumsticks into the audience, these metal missionaries toss about 500 imitation leather copies of the New Testament. We are rock and roll evangelists, says drummer Robert Sweet, 24. Striper is a modern-day John the Baptist crying in the world of rock for those who don't have the life of Christ to turn on the light switch. Our message is J-E-S-U-S. Striper is only one of dozens of groups preaching the same timeless message in new ways. They are all part of gospel, a musical category that also includes soul, gospel, and hymns. But these new entertainers create sounds that have never been heard in churches. Sounds that range from Striper's heavy beat to Michael Card's folk, from Undercover's punk rock to the mellow pop of Amy Grant, who last week won her third Grammy for her song, Angels. Indistinguishable, they recognize, indistinguishable, except for their lyrics from the secular counterparts. These performers represent one of the most interesting, fastest-growing trends in the music world, Christian contemporary music, or evangelical pop. All this contemporary Christian music, they just covered the whole spectrum here by going from one. He said, it's indistinguishable music from the secular counterparts. How are we supposed to tell the difference? Oh, the lyrics. But we have a new song, we have a new music that God gave us as believers. Little Richard answering the question, can rock coexist with God? Rock and roll doesn't glorify God. You can't drink out of God's cup and the devil's cup at the same time. When I first read that quote out of Dan Lucarani's Can We Rock the Gospel book, you ever get in those moments where you're kind of daydreaming as you read, and then you hit, oh, here I am, and I kind of hit myself in the middle of the quote, and like, wait a second, am I reading scripture right here? I'm going to read you a scripture passage that he says, look at what he says, you can't drink out of God's cup and the devil's cup at the same time. And he goes on to say, I was one of the pioneers of that music, one of the builders. I know what the blocks are made of because I built them. Don't tell me that it's this music is honoring God, Little Richard's saying. It's the devil's music. You can't drink out of both at the same time. Alan Bloom, we looked at his quote the other week, professor of sociology at University of Chicago, rock is all there is. The words make little difference. They may be explicitly sexual or even religious. It is all eroticism arousing of sexual desire. Time Magazine, Little Richard, Alan Bloom, all secular, saying the same thing, that this music is not of God, but it's of the devil. And in 1 Corinthians 10:21, here's our scripture passage, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Cup of devils. Ye cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. It just can't happen because they're opposites to each other. They can't be joined. You can't join opposites like that. Christian music pastor on American Idol run. A few years back, there was a Christian music pastor from Texas, and he went on American Idol run. And in one of the preliminary rounds, he was in front of a board of judges. But they had a special judge that day for the special guest, and he was Gene Simmons from the rock band Kiss, which is Kings and Satanic Service. He was known as the Demon. And he had a problem with what this music pastor was doing. And this is what he had to say to him. He said, if you sing pop lyrics, you're going to have a problem with your ministry. Because rock and roll, by definition, and popular music is about sexuality. How sad is it when the heathen world has to rebuke us as believers? Here's a Christian music pastor up singing this wrong music, and Gene Simmons from our terrible band, rock band, has this to say to him. You can't do it. You're going to have a problem with your ministry because they're opposites. It can't be done. Steve Camp, Christian rock star who eventually became so sickened by the compromised sin and worldliness he saw in the Christian music industry that he pulled out, as quoted by Dan Lucarani and John Blanchard and Can We Rock the Gospel, he had this to say. When Christian artists today take the old song of the world, dress it up, modify it, and say it now represents the person of Jesus Christ, a Christian message, or describe the character of God, they unexpectedly assault the gospel and diminish the gift that has been entrusted to them. This is inappropriate at best and sacrilegious at worst. We cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. When you put new wine into the old wineskins, pour new wine into the old wineskins, what happens? It breaks. The old wine is the one, the old wineskins is the one that corrupts new wineskins. In the same way, when you try to put the old song of the world, you try to put the new lyrics into the old song, the old music, it's corrupted. And this guy out of the CCM movement recognizes that, hey, we can't do this. This is, some people may be unexpectedly doing it, not knowingly doing it, but they're assaulting the gospel and diminishing the gift that has been entrusted to them. I've had friends say, well, my friend is a rapper, and that's just a gift that God has given him. And I'm like, he may be gifted musically, but I don't think he's using the gift in the way that God wants him to use it. So Romans 12:2, there's some scripture in here. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is the duty of us as believers, to not be conformed, but to be transformed. Second point, ye are the temple of God, be separated. Christ and the devil, they can't be joined musically. But what about, ye are the temple of God, be separate? CCM, rock, rap, etc. in the local church, can it be done? Does your church, obviously not this church, but look at the churches out in broader Christendom and say, does that church, does their music sound like the world's music? Is there a difference between God's music, that is to be the believer's song, and the world's music? If someone's walking outside of a church building, can they, by the music, determine that it's music from the church, that it's godly music, or maybe it's just barroom music? Can you imagine Amazing Grace in a traditional hymn-like setting being played in a bar? or John Philip Sousa march? Why wouldn't it be? It doesn't fit the setting. Oh, but we can take all that bar music and we'll bring it into the church. It doesn't work. 1 Peter 1:13-16 says, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manners of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." This includes all areas of our life, to not fashion according to that which we had before we were saved. Now the question is, well, does rock music encourage worldliness? Now I'm going to read you some excerpts from responses from concerts, and you be the judge. Shrill screams reverberated off the sky-high ceiling. The beginning riff followed by an overwhelming loud whoa sent shockwaves through the violently undulating teenage seats. Small groups of girls stood in tight circles, clapping like cheerleaders, practically running in place with mouths agape and screams as if the Beatles had just stepped on American soil. The crowd was stoked and ready to rock as the music started to play, and the audience could still only see the silhouettes of the band members behind the pale, illuminated curtain. Stewart worked the fans into a frenzy when he left the stage. Last one. The pulsating techno music builds to a deafening crescendo as space-age sounding zaps punctuate the heavy bass and drum beat. Red and green laser lights etch twisting torsos against blackened walls as colored glow sticks slice through manufactured fog. 200 teens ages 14 to 18 have come to dance to cutting-edge house, trance, and jungle music while white patterns of gobos and moonflowers wash the room in a bright array of color. Sounds pretty bad. Sounds worldly. Sounds like a pretty bad secular rock concert, doesn't it? Well, it's not. These are all Christian rock concerts being described. These are all settings, Christian rock concerts, recorded by Dan Lucarani from Rock the Gospel. So the question is, how are we to tell the difference between Christian CCM rock and the secular counterparts? Where is it? The music? Well, the music's the same. Oh, let's go to the lyrics. Well, now we have a problem with the lyrics, too, because we get crossover lyrics, and they're just trying to cross over with all these pronouns, you, me, I. It's no more saying Lord or Jesus. Now you can mistake a song to the Lord to a song to somebody you're in love with. What about the singer? Well, we saw through Stryker, they weren't exactly the best presentation of that either. They weren't reflecting godliness by their dress. We saw, okay, what about the setting? What about the performance? Well, these settings just showed us that this just looks like the world. So how are we to determine what is Christian? Oftentimes, we've got to get down to one basic little thing and go off of that for some in the CCM ministry, and that is a nine-letter word called Christian. It's labeled with the word Christian. That's not a very good way of having to tell that somebody's a Christian group is just by saying, oh, we're Christian, and they have all the stuff. Well, let's look at another article from the Washington Times. This just happened June 19, 2014. A jailed Christian rock frontman. Me and most of my band were atheists. He was jailed because he had a hitman to try to murder his wife. And this is what Tim Lambesis, the former frontman of a Christian heavy metal band, recently sentenced to 6 years in jail for hiring a hitman to kill his wife, dropped another shocker for fans of the group. He and most of his bandmates were atheists. Truthfully, I was an atheist, he said during an interview with Music Trade magazine Alternative Press, adding that the band name, As I Lay Dying, faked the faith in order to sell the records. I actually wasn't the first guy in. As I Lay Dying to stop being a Christian, he said. In fact, I think I was a third. The two who remained kind of stopped talking about it, and then I'm pretty sure they dropped it too. I remember one Christian festival where an interview wanted one of the guys in the band to share his testimony, and he just froze up and let one of the guys who was still a Christian at the time answer the questions, he told the magazine. We laughed about it afterward, but we were only laughing because it was so awkward. Lambesis recently pleaded guilty to a felony count of solicitation of murder for trying to have his wife, Megan Murphy, killed by hitman. Lambesis said his band was far from the only group pretending to be Christians. We toured with more Christian bands who actually aren't Christians than bands that are, said. In 12 years of touring with As I Lay dying, I would say maybe 1 in 10 Christian bands we toured with were actually Christian bands. Wow. Now, whether he's has the exact number down doesn't make a big difference. In fact, 1 in 10, that small percentage, actually Christian, perhaps, like Lambesis and his other friends, they're just the unsaved coming in to make money off of the Christian music industry. And Christians say, oh, they're a Christian band, but they're good and all that. Just because it has a nine-letter word Christian on it doesn't make it holy. It doesn't make it right for the believer to use in their lives. Ye are the temple of God, ye separate. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Wow, we have a duty as believers to do, to show forth his praises. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Charles Spurgeon, one reason the church has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. And that is sadly true today. People, how are they going to see Jesus when we live, talk, listen to the same things just like them? They can't. You see, churches are out on the battlefield, but they have left their back doors wide open, to which the devil has easily slipped in through the medium of music with the lie that music is immoral. And people thinking, wow, we're going to worship God today with rock music. The rock music, that's not worshiping God. It's worshiping the devil. Plato, not a great guy at all, but listen to what he has to say. Through foolishness, they, the people, deceived themselves into thinking that there was no right or wrong in music, that it was to be judged good or bad by the pleasure it gave. He just, secular guy just smacked us in the face. Here's CCM, we'll do it by what we like. Plato says, that's foolishness to do that. But the argument, wait, look at all the converts from all these Christian rock concerts. How can you say that they're bad? Well, first of all, God can work in any situation. That doesn't mean God wants us to use that. God brought good out of the Nazi concentration camps. He brings good in the jungles. Wherever you are, God can bring good out of that. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Genesis 50:20. Joseph said, you thought it evil for me to throw me in pit, but God meant it for good. This is not the issue. Proclaiming good results did not instantly make the channel acceptable. This is an end justifies a means thinking. If I would say, well, I feel called to be a missionary, and so I'm going to go around and get support. I need to get support. And I decide to go to the bank and rob $5,000 from the bank. I can go on the mission field now. Isn't that great? It's an end justifies the means. You see, God wants us to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. God will take care of the results for us. He just wants us to be faithful servants for him in doing what he has for us to do. So this argument is really invalid that, well, this is not the issue. We ought to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Christian rock legend Larry Norman, he was talking about the words in this context, what was happening in Christian music, but here's what he has to say. In order to decide whether Christian music has any great weaknesses or strength, you have to decide what its purpose is. If it's for non-Christians to convince them that Christ is an important alternative to seeking their life, then most Christian music is a failure because it doesn't convincingly communicate that particular message. He was concerned with the crossover lyrics happening, but with the music, it still doesn't communicate a convincing message that of God honoring music, and the world won't see a difference when our music is just like them. In all rock music, lyrics are secondary. Rock is a music of feeling, spoken primarily to the body and only secondary to the intellect. Graham Cray. Rock, rhythm and blues, jazz, pop tunes, bossa nova, etc. are all products of the world. These musicians, CCM, are taking the fleshy and are insane effect, we are going to appeal to the spiritual. It cannot be done. It is neither logical or spiritual. This is typical of the contemporary Christian music approach today. It is interesting to note that most of these styles have had their origin as dance music. A former dance band musician, you can't take the fleshly and say, we're going to appeal to the spiritual, because these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. When you have two opposing things, these can't be joined. You can't do the things that you would. You have to choose one or the other. That's simply pleasing God or pleasing self. Frank Garlock, if pop music consciously striving for a physical impact, what is the result when used to communicate spiritual truths? The answer is simple. Spiritual truths are diluted and reduced to a physical experience. The listener is hoodwinked into believing he had a spiritual encounter when in reality that experience was only physical. We're trying to get a physical impact, inappropriate at that, and saying, well, we're going to worship God. I had a friend whose dad, they said that their dad liked listening to this contemporary Christian music, Christian rock for services, because it puts me into a worshipful mood. Well, worship isn't something that we fall into as believers, is it? No, worship is an action that we give towards God. And here we got fleshly music coming at us. We don't worship God through the physical. We worship Him spiritual. We have to have that proper order. Remember, the melody, the harmony, and the rhythm. And the rhythm also in that proper context. We're hoodwinked into thinking that we've had a spiritual experience, but actually it's not God. It might just be the devil. Scary. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Dan Lucarani and John Blanchard said, in true evangelism, the church is a lifeboat, not a showboat. We don't need these Christian rock concerts to draw people in. We support a missionary at our home church, brother Larry Ingalls, I believe he's with Baptist Courage for Christ, but they go to countries in Europe and help out with local churches that are missionaries there. And they spend a week out on the street just passing out tracts, and at the end they have a big preaching session. And they've just brought them in through handing out literature. They've had no other means. They don't use the rock music or anything like that. And they see many people saved. Problem is, Christian rock music, well, we can just do what we like, what we love to do, what appeals to our flesh, and hopefully people will be saved. We're just not getting out there and obeying the Great Commission is a problem. And that steps on my toes, too, about not just getting out there and sharing the gospel with others. You see, the lost world needs to see Jesus, but what have we to offer them when we are no different? If you'll turn with me quickly to Romans 14, my time is practically up, so we'll go over this fast as we can. Romans 14. Look at verses 16 through 18. And here Paul says, let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. The kingdom of God is about, what is our salvation in Christ Jesus about? Many people take Romans 14 and say, well, it's all about my Christian liberty, what I can get away with doing. I won't allow a weaker brother to stumble, so I won't listen to rock music, or I won't do this or that, which are explicitly stated in the Bible that they're wrong. No, our salvation is not about our Christian liberty. It's about following after, if you'll notice in those verses right there, righteousness, then comes peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. We have righteousness first. We follow after righteousness as believers. Then comes peace. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Isaiah 26:5 says, thou wilt keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. There comes a peace after we follow righteousness. Then comes joy in the Holy Ghost. True joy for a believer comes when we follow the will of God. why music with the rock beat fails. We've brought rock music pretty much up to a climax. Now we're using this passage. We're looking at some simple guidelines to see what rock music does in violating this. See, rock music is focused on the central physical aspect to create a false joy, happiness. We're all about pleasing the flesh. That's what rock music, music with the backbeat, does. And so it has a false joy, and then it lends itself to a false peace, and it has no righteousness because we threw out the righteousness, and we just have the physical impact and proper. And so is this the moving of the Holy Ghost as some claim it to be? No, it's not the moving of the Holy Ghost. It's another spiritual influence that is not of God, but of the devil. And the joy of the Holy Ghost is present when righteousness, God's way, is followed. Again, what spiritual presence is there then in rock music? This is not acceptable to God because it reverses the order of what Christianity is about. That which follows righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is acceptable to God. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and truth. David, Cain, and Israel, they all had it where they had the right heart attitude, but they didn't do it God's way, and it was not acceptable to God. They failed to put righteousness first, following God's way, and they got it out of order. And that's what the world in music does. Is rock rap an acceptable medium, the world music? The answer is no. And also, it's approved of men. It's acceptable to God, but this lifestyle is approved of men. And Barnes has this to say, that is, people will approve of such conduct. They will esteem it to be right and to be in accordance with the spirit of Christianity. He does not say that the wicked world will love such a life. They won't. But it will commend itself to them as such a life as people ought to lead. See, the world expects us as believers to be different. And when they see that we're not different, like, oh, you just go to church or something. You're just a hypocrite, aren't you? And they're not going to love us when we are like, when we live like believers. So realistically, lose-lose. But in the sense, when we when we live for Christ, though, they see a difference in us. And if we want them to come to Christ, that is how they are going to come to Christ, is when we show that difference to them. Because when they reach times of their life, when they're down, they may remember that person who showed Christ to them. And they may come back to you and say, what was that about Jesus Christ? What is different about you? I want that. The devil's music to a holy God. If Joshua heard the music coming from churches across America today, what would he say? Interesting question to ponder. Lord, there's a problem in the camp of Christianity. I can't place my finger on it, Lord, but the exact sound, but it's not the way you left it. People are rebelling against God. There's atmospheres of confusion. There's bodies moving to whatever in these worship services with this music going on. What's God's response to all this? Solemn truth to consider. Revelation 3:15-16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We can have good Christian music with good lyrics and good music. We can just have rotten stuff with bad lyrics and bad music. But he Sam Bridges that, oh, we'll have good lyrics with the bad music. Just be hot or cold, the passage is saying. But because thou art lukewarm, God's saying, this is making me sick. And this is a sad scenario for churches and believers throughout the world today. So a summary, as we finish out, Israel's usage of devilish music was condemned by God in Exodus 32. Remember, the 3,000 died. The commandments were broken. Christ and Satan musically cannot be mixed. It's impossible. They're contrary one to the other. That's why walk in the Spirit and you won't have a problem of fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Music with a rock beat is not an acceptable medium with which to worship God or to be present in the life of a believer. We saw in some how we can't take the devil's music and offer it to a holy God. We serve a holy God. We ought to worship Him in true holiness and not whatever floats our boat. So where do we go from here? Well, we've seen some music that's bad. We've looked at this rock beat, the central breathing style, singing style. And now, well, what's good music? well, where do we go from here? Well, we're actually done for this morning. You say, yay! <You know? laughs> But we'll look at what music is acceptable to the Lord this evening and give basic tools and guidelines to go off of to help you think of, hey, what can I listen to? And you taking a toolbox with you. That's what we want to do tonight. So, Pastor Potter, would you come at this time?
Stand with me if you